Welcome to the King's Cost, dynamic teaching recorded live at King's Church in Cambridge, England. We hope you are blessed and challenged by listening to the ministry today. And now, here's the broadcast.
Good morning, church. You hear me well? Yeah? Good. Well, it's an honor. It's a great privilege to be here today. Bringing the Word of God. And I need to tell you, like every time, it's only by the Spirit of the Lord that this mix makes it possible. It's not by any power, not by any might, not by any mind, but only through the Holy Spirit that makes us do things that we never can imagine that we can do. All the glory, all the power, all the honor is to our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Today I'm gonna talk to you about the danger of familiarity. And to get started, we're gonna read 1 Samuel, the first book of Samuel, chapter 7, verses 1 and 2. Samuel chapter 7 verses 1 and 2. I'm going to read all the scriptures. I'm going to read them from the New Living Translation. So, the men of Kiriath Jearim came to get the ark of the Lord. They took it to the hillside home of Abinadab and ordained Eleazar, his son, to be in charge of it. The ark remained in Kiriath Jearim for a long time, 20 years in all. During that time, all Israel mourned because it seemed the Lord had abandoned them. Now, let's read our second main reading here. It's 20 years after. We're going to read 2 Samuel, chapter 6, verses 1 to 11. Then David again gathered all the elite troops in Israel, 30,000 in all. He led them to Bala of Judah to bring back the Ark of God, which bears the name of the Lord of Heaven's armies, who is enthroned between the cherubim. They placed the Ark of God on a new cart and brought it from Abinadab's house, which was on a hill. Uzzah and Ahio, Abinadab's sons, were guiding the cart that carried the ark of God. Ahio walked in the front of the ark. David and all the people of Israel were celebrating before the Lord, singing songs and playing all kinds of musical instruments, lyres, harps, tambourines, castanets, and cymbals. But when they arrived at the threshing floor of Nacon, the oxen stumbled, and Uzzah reached out his hand and steadied the ark of God. Then the Lord's anger was aroused against Uzzah, and God struck him dead because of this. So Uzzah died right there beside the ark of God. David was angry because the Lord's anger had burst out against Uzzah. He named that place Perez Uzzah, which means to burst out against Uzzah, as it is still called today. David was now afraid of the Lord, and he asked, "How can I ever bring the ark of the Lord back into my care?" So David decided not to move the ark of the Lord into the city of David. Instead, he took it to the house of Obed-Edom of Gath. The ark of the Lord remained there in Obed-Edom's house for 3 months, and the Lord blessed Obed-Edom and his entire household. Lord, through your Holy Spirit, take the control of this meeting. Everything that is going to be said is going to come from you and not from the mind. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. The Ark of the Covenant was a symbol of God's presence in those years in the Old Testament. That the Ark was the presence of God, in fact, okay? And after 7 months to be with the Philistines defeated the people of Israel in a battle and took away, they took the ark with them and keep it for 7 months in different camps and cities of the Philistines and make a disaster there. They got diseases, they got death, they got everything. So after 7 months, they told to the Israelites, take your ark back, we don't want them anymore. Okay, so they return it because of all that disaster that they have done in the midst of them. So it was handed over to the Israelites, the ark was handed back, and then it was taken to Abinadab, to the house of Abinadab. And he was a Levite, Abinadab, and stayed there for 20 years in his house. During those 20 years, nothing happened. At least the Bible doesn't say anything about it during those 20 years. But after the incident where the Abinadab son Uzzah died while being taken to Jerusalem, the ark was taken to the house of Obed-Edom, where it remained there for only 3 months. And in those 3 months, Obed-Edom and his family starts prospering and were greatly blessed. The same ark that only was used in space in Abinadab's house for 20 years brought blessing to Obed-Edom's house in just 3 months. It was the same ark. It was the same mission for both. Something was different there. Something was done different. The Bible also does not mention anything that happened in Abinadab's house in those 20 years. Yet, all the good you can imagine happened in just 3 months in the house of Obed-Edom. So what was different? The house of Abinadab and the house of Obed-Edom are pointing us to two different types of believers, two different types of relationship with God. And all this is teaching us something that today I'm going to talk to you about, that is the danger of familiarity. The concept, the word familiarity comes from the word family. And it, in the sense that we see something continuously, we live together, we talk every day, and due to this condition, many details become so common to us that we stop perceiving them. We start perceiving all the details, all the characteristics, all the significance of this. Familiarity is getting used to something to the point that we no longer perceive its importance, its significance, its characteristics. Okay, so in this text that we already read, in 1 Samuel chapter 7, verses 1 and 2, there is telling us that when the ark was taken out of the Philistine camp, it was kept in the house of a Levite named Abinadab. He was a Levite, okay? He had all the credentials how to handle the ark and everything. No? Those the Levites were the ones who were trained how to handle the ark. Abinadab had 3 sons: Eleazar, the oldest, who was commissioned to be looking after the ark, and another 2 younger children that were Uzzah and Ahio. Then, later on, 20 years after, in 2 Samuel 6, verses 2 to 6, tell us that when David went to fetch the ark from the house of Abinadab, to take it to Jerusalem, they placed the ark in an oak cart and was driven by the two brothers, the younger brothers, Ahio and Uzzah, sons of Abinadab. One was, so they placed it in an ox cart, okay? The Bible does not say that Abinadab and his household were blessed, but on the contrary, It mentions that Uzzah died when he touched the ark. However, when the ark enters into Obed-Edom's house, people begin to notice a big change in his household. Okay? So, 20 years, the ark was, spent 20 years in Abinadab's house. And when David went to get the ark, the sons of Abinadab were young. So this means that when the ark arrived at Abinadab's house, there were children, these two, Uzzah and Ahio, there must be children, because 20 years after they were young. This fact is made to suppose that they grew up seeing the ark. They were used to see it. They probably were told not to touch it because it was an express command of God. The arch couldn't be touched only by the high priest. So they get used to it. You know, they see another object in the house, that piece of furniture just there. Okay. And this is the first message here. Let us not become, my dear brothers and sisters in Christ, let us not become used to our relationship with God. We must not let our relationship become something common to us. Let us keep the fervent desire, the passion of the first time when we met Jesus, when we were born again. The first time we were filled with the Holy Spirit. We felt the presence of the Holy Spirit. And the first time when we were received in the family of Christ. Let's keep that always fresh, always fresh. Besides the danger of the familiarity with good things, there is another danger lurking there that I need to stress out. That is the danger of familiarization with sin. Familiarization is not only about getting used to good things, but also to get used to a life of sin and thinking that, oh, it's all right, it's fine, it's just a minor thing, okay? No, it's not. Becoming familiar with sin is very easy. It requires no effort. It only requires self-indulgence. That's the only thing we need, okay? That is why it's so subtle and so dangerous. Let us always, always be alert and not get used to those minor things that in today's world is very easy to get used to sin, because that's the trend of the world. So let us be aware of that. Always be alert. Because if we are not, and we are wiped with that flow of all the things that are going on in this world, we will end up being separated from God completely. So I'm going to tell you now 4 reasons why familiarity in a relationship with God is dangerous. And the first one is, familiarity makes us lose track of value. When we are very familiar with something, we stop assigning the value that corresponds to it, and we just ignore it. And it happens, let's talk for material things. When we buy a new car, for example, when we get a new car, we are very excited, we are really, really happy about it, but perhaps 2 months after, perhaps 2 months, let's give 2 months, 2 months after we're used to it. So it doesn't cause us that excitement, that happiness anymore. The same with clothes. We buy the clothes, and the first time we use them, we feel different and we feel better. 1 week after, we just ignore it. Okay? Everything becomes so common to us that we don't perceive how blessed we are by the things and by the people around us. We just lost the value of that. Familiarity will prevent us to enter into God's presence. That's the problem. That's the problem. It's gonna make a wall between in a relationship with God, and we will not be able to enter into God's presence. Okay, so we need to His presence is gonna be meaningless to us because of familiarity. At the beginning of our Christian life, we vibrate with every word, every manifestation of God. We worship with everything, will set us on fire. We were on fire, okay? Today, perhaps today, great things, miracles happen next to us, and we don't get excited about it, or we don't even notice them. That is familiarity, church. That is familiarity. And it is a pity that Abinadab and his sons became so familiar with the ark that they put it in a cart pulled by oxen when they knew how these things have to be done. Familiarity can even lead into a reverence, lust of reverence, irreverence, or a lack of respect. And this can occur not only with our relationship with God, this can occur in the midst of our families. It can happen between children and parents. It can happen between spouses. So let us keep our relations fresh by renewing them every day, by kind words, by love, you know, by showing the love to the people. That's the way to keep fresh our relationship with them. Okay? I'm gonna just quote them. You will have to look at them. The verses where God is instructing Moses how the ark should be handled. These are specific instructions that appear all in the book of Numbers. In Numbers chapter 4, verses 14 and 15. In Numbers chapter 7, verses 9. And Numbers chapter 18, verse 3. In those, there are specific instructions how the ark should be handled. Okay? And on the other side, we have in 1 Chronicles 15:2 and in 15:10, in those two verses of chapter 15 of 1 Chronicles, there was all the evidence that Abinadab and his family were Levites. So they had all the credentials, they had all the training how to handle the ark. So there was no excuse for them to have put the ark in a cart pulled by oxen. However, for years they became familiar to the ark. That was not to be only touch, that it was just there in the house. Then they loaded the ark into the car carried by oxen, and the incident was imminent. And Uzzah died because of the familiarity with the ark. Later, we see David amending the mistake by making the ark being carried by Levites in the correct way, describing 1 Chronicles chapter 15. There was a specific way using poles, three Levites on each side without touching at all the ark, okay? Not in a cart with oxen. Uzzah died because this happened because he mishandled the sacred things, because he was so familiar with the ark that he had lost reverence and respect for it, for the presence of God. Remember that the ark represented the presence of God in those years under that covenant. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, that is why it's so important to you for our eyes to be open to see all the blessings around us. The blessings are all around us. And to realize that what seems so common on this earth for us is a demonstration of God's grace, power, magnificence, generosity, love. Let's look in awe to nature, to the universe. Let's look at a sunrise, at a sunset, The birds and his feathers. The feathers are perfect. It's a perfect work. The trees and its magnificence. How a tree with a seed of the size of an egg can grow up in a 100-foot tree. That's God. Only God can make that. Let us be in awe even for the DNA. The DNA, that's God's code mark on us. God's artwork is everywhere, and we are used to it. We lost the awe, the delight to look and delight in God's creation. Likewise, let's look at our church, our family in Christ. Let's look at our families, our relatives, our friends, our spouses. Perhaps we no longer give the value they deserve because we have come too familiar, because we are used to them, because we feel that we deserve everything. This is why the Lord is telling us today, return to your first love. Let's go back to the beginning. Let's go back to the start when he found us. Let us be bright again. Let us be on fire. Let's feel that amazement and joy when we first time met Jesus and felt the Holy Spirit. Today, God is asking us, he's calling us to reevaluate our relationship with him. Number two. Familiarity causes disbelief. Unbelief blinds people to the truth and robs them hope. Unbelief is a trap very easy to fall in. It's very subtle and starts when we think we know everything, because we become stubborn and obstinate. And we have the Bible, the scripture provides a great example of this unbelief in Matthew chapter 13, verses 53 to 58. Matthew 13, verses 53-58. It says there, when Jesus had finished telling these stories and illustrations, he left that part of the country. He returned to Nazareth, his hometown. When he taught there in the synagogue, everyone was amazed and said, where does he get all this wisdom and the power to do miracles? Then they scoffed. He is just a carpenter's son, and we know Mary, his mother, and his brothers, James, Joseph, Simon, and Judas. All his sisters live right here among us. Where did he learn all these things? And they were deeply offended and refused to believe in him. Then Jesus told them, a prophet is honored everywhere except in his own hometown and among his own family. And so he did only few miracles there because of their own belief. Jesus could not perform many miracles in the place where he grew up, because of the unbelief of his countrymen. They did not believe him because they knew him, because they saw him grow up, because they knew his parents and brothers, and because they were with him all the time. How tragic is this, that these people missed the very Messiah, the Messiah they were longing for, because they were so familiar to him, that they couldn't believe who really was Jesus. That's unbelief. Familiarity causes unbelief. Number three, familiarity produces loss of joy. When something becomes common to us, we no longer feel satisfaction or wonder, just like the car or the clothes, okay? The joy goes off, okay? That leads to us, it loses purpose to us, okay? And that produces loss of joy. And joy is
a key thing.
It's a fundamental factor in a life of a believer. In fact, joy is a trait of the fruit of the Spirit. So God always wants us to experience abundant and a joyful life. And there are a lot of verses in the Bible about this. I'm going to just tell you three. Isaiah 61:10 says, Isaiah 61:10 exhorts us to be overwhelming joy in the Lord our God. And it says, I am overwhelmed with joy in the Lord my God, for he has dressed me with clothing of salvation and dressed me in a robe of righteousness. Amen. Psalm 68:3 says, but let the godly rejoice. Let them be glad in God's presence. Let them be filled with joy. And this one is one of my favorites. It's in Habakkuk chapter 3, verses 17 and 18. God is exhorting us to be joyful even in the midst of tribulation, because he is the source of all joy. So what is going around us doesn't have to do anything with our joy. With our joy, because the joy is a fruit of the Spirit. It's something, it's a gift of God that he puts us directly into us. So it doesn't matter what's going around us. Habakkuk 3, 17, 18. Even though the fig trees have no blossoms and there are no grapes on the vines, even though the olive crop fails and the fields lie empty and barren, even though the flocks die in the fields and the cattle barns are empty, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will be joyful in the God of my salvation. Amen for this. Amen. And the last one, number four. Familiarity produces ingratitude. And this is a process. After the loss of joy, there comes the ingratitude. When we lack proper appreciation or lack of being grateful for all the things that God has done for us. And an example of this in the scripture is the people of Israel in the desert. Let's read Numbers chapter 21, verse 5. It says there, and they began to speak against God and Moses. Why have you brought us out of Egypt to die in this wilderness? They complained. There is nothing to eat here and nothing to drink, and we hate this horrible manna. What made Obed Edom so special? He was a Levite. He was a Levite of the city of God. And Obed Edom obeyed and accepted that risky business about having the ark, because it has been causing a lot of trouble everywhere. So he accepted that risky proposition, but he did it with reverence and honor, church. That was the big difference. He took the ark into his house with reverence and honor, feeling blessed, having been proposed for something so special, to have the presence of God at home. He knew exactly what was going into his home. It was God, the presence of God. And he felt honored and felt reverence for that. He felt blessed. He didn't see the natural danger after all the disaster that had happened with the ark. He saw the undeserved grace pour out in his home and felt thankful for the honor to have the ark at his home, to have the presence of God at his home. That was the difference between both houses. My dear brothers and sisters in Christ, let's reassess everything we have. May your eyes be opened to enjoy all the blessings, most of them undeserved. Let us give thanks for our church, for our leaders, for our family in Christ, for our families at home, for all that we have, all that we have comes from the Lord. Everything we have comes from Him. The enjoyment of manna is a gateway to enter in the abundance of the promised land, flowing with milk and honey, as the word says. Likewise, the delight of God's presence is a taste of heaven for us. Where do we want to be every second? In the presence of God. In the presence of God, we have guidance and direction. We have protection. We have grace. We have blessing. In the presence of God, we have His perspective of things. We get a heavenly perspective of things instead of our human perspective. When we are in the presence of God, we have a change of perspective. When we are in the presence of God, we are protected with the precious blood of Jesus Christ. Amen. When we are in the presence of God, we are sitting at the table in the kingdom of heaven, and we have a feast of spiritual food, spiritual manna. That only happens when we are in the presence of the Lord. When we are in the presence of the Lord, the enemy is at our feet. We can stand on the enemy because he's at our feet. Amen. When we are in the presence of the Lord, we act in the power of the Spirit. So, church, where do we want to be every time, every second, every day? In the presence of the Lord. The presence of the Lord is the best place where we can start. Thanks to Jesus. Thanks for what Jesus has done. That place, that holy, most holy place that only one person once a year could enter. Now, thanks to Jesus, all of us, we can enter there and stay there all the time. All the time there. That's the greatest blessing, the greatest gift that we can have from heaven. That access, that direct access to the presence of the Lord anytime. Just bear in mind one thing. To enter in the presence of the Lord, we must have forgive the ones who have hurt us. We must have been obedient. And if we can fail doing that, we must repent. We must come to the Lord with a repent heart. Ask for forgiveness, and then we will can access. It's the same like the high priest had to purify before entering the most holy place. We need to put things right with God before we can enter into His presence. The same thing. The rules apply. The same rules apply. Okay? So, summarizing. Familiarity in our relationship with God is dangerous because it makes us lose track of value. Familiarity produces disbelief. Familiarity produces loss of joy. And familiarity produces ingratitude. As I already told you, the house of Abinadab and the house of Obed-Edom represent two types of believers, two types of relationships with God. There is a danger in being familiar, getting used to something, to the point that we no longer perceive its importance, its characteristics, and its benefits. Also, ignoring, losing reverence and respect is a result of something, when something is too common, too familiar to us. That is why God is calling us today to return to our first love. The loss of joy, when there is no wonder, when we take something for granted or deserved, is when we get used to something. That loss of joy is going to lead us to unbelief. Can the worship come back to the front, please? You know, let us be like Obed-Edom. Let's open our eyes and see the undeserved grace poured out on us in our lives, in this house of prayer. Let us be thankful
for the honor to have the presence of God right here, right now. Let's do it with reverence and honor for having been chosen to be part of the kingdom of heaven. Gratitude is an open gate for heaven to more blessings. We must give all the glory to God, because even that we don't deserve anything, God pours out His grace on us. Let us recognize that without deserving it, God's grace enters in our homes. It's pouring out in our lives. Like Obed-Edom, we have been chosen so that in our church, in our homes, in our families, we have the presence, the grace, and the favor, and the blessing of God. Like Obed-Edom, let us be obedient, reverent, and thankful, so that the Lord will bless our entire household. Let us cry out for the anointing of the Holy Spirit to be poured out on our households, on King's Church, on our families, on our jobs, in everything we do. Let us cry out loud to be in the presence of the Lord every second, every day. Holy Spirit, come, pour down your fire. We are here. We are in your presence.
Thank you for listening, and we trust that the Word of God has inspired you today. For further information about King's Church, or to access our large archive of other recordings, go to www.kingscambridge.org. If you're listening on iTunes, we would love you to leave us some feedback. God bless and goodbye.